Hello, I'm Andrew Pickford, Communications Manager at Control Risks, and in this podcast, I'm joined by our Southern Africa analyst, Simiso Velampini, to discuss the implications of the constitutional referendum conducted in Zimbabwe on the 16th of March. My understanding is that the referendum is supported by the two main parties and seeks approval for constitutional amendments to set term limits on the presidency, to devolve power regionally, and effectively limit the president's right to veto. Assuming the referendum is passed, to what extent do you think these reforms will actually change Zimbabwe?
That's a very important question. As you rightly pointed out, the current draft of the constitution limits presidential terms. In addition, it also devolves power away from the central government down to more provincial and municipal structures. This is something that was very important to the movement for democratic change and is considered a major concession on the part of ZANU-PF in this regard. However, as you rightly pointed out, there are a lot of questions about whether or not this will actually change anything in Zimbabwe. Two issues that are still outstanding: the Zimbabwean's ability to hold dual citizenship, as well as a couple of clauses which will only come into effect or will be discussed in 10 years' time, issues such as running mates for presidential candidates, which have been pushed forward, not to the next elections, but to elections in 10 years' time.
What was the thinking behind the reforms? To prevent another Mugabe?
In essence, the reforms form part of the political roadmap, the global political agreement agreed upon by all of the political principals under the supervision and the guidance of the Southern African Development Community, SADC. In essence, it was an attempt to strengthen democratic institutions in Zimbabwe and to address the shortfalls of the previous constitution, which was established and based on the Lancaster House Agreement in 1979.
So if elections are held in July this year, what do you see as the most likely outcome?
The most likely outcome is a coalition government. Neither the MDC nor ZANU-PF is likely to win a parliamentary majority. This means that the incoming president will have to govern over a coalition government again, which in turn will bring its own challenges, particularly around policy implementation and decision-making. With regards to the presidential elections, this will be a hotly contested race. Both Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai and current President Robert Mugabe are vying for the highest post in the nation, and both of them have a very long-standing history of very tense competition. So while we did see isolated incidents of voter intimidation and political violence during the constitutional referendum, we're likely to see a modest increase as we head to the legislative and presidential elections, simply because, and I think you pointed this out in your first question, with regards to the constitutional referendum, both the MDC and ZANU-PF were on the same side. Both political parties were pushing for a yes vote in the constitutional referendum. When we move to the legislative and presidential elections, the parties are competing, and this will heighten political tensions, particularly in the run-up to both elections.
And there obviously has been less internal conflict and probably some degree of economic stabilisation. To what extent do you believe Zimbabwe is open for business today?
Zimbabwe is open for business, but it takes a savvy and rather agile investor, and I'd say an investor with a very high risk appetite as well. We've seen quite recently the rather capricious application of the indigenization bill, particularly in the mining sector, the potential for the financial services industry as well to come to start to comply with indigenization legislation. And in essence, what this does is it creates investor uncertainty about the operating environment. And Zimbabwe still has a long way to go in terms of reassuring investors of their property rights, as well as reassuring them about the ways in which existing legislation will be applied evenly across a range of sectors.
Thank you, Simiso. If you'd like to listen to more of our podcasts, you can follow the Control Risks podcast channel on iTunes.